Hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, starring, not coincidentally, the one, the only Ramon Foster. Is that the best intro you've ever gotten, or do you like the Larry Richard one when you're running out of the tunnel?
No, I like this one. That one's pretty good. I should probably get smoke, like the smoke machine in my room and stuff like that. So when you start introducing me, I was like, you know that.
Number 73. Exactly. University of Tennessee.
Is it University of Tennessee or Tennessee University? I don't even know.
Ask any Pitt fan. They'll tell you.
Spell our name correctly.
University of Tennessee. Or just call us Pitt's dad. Either way, one or the other.
Just for fun, earlier this week, I'm going to bring this up again. Chase Claypool had, within one of his quotes, and again, it's so easy to parse things whenever they aren't going well, but he said, change is coming. Now, change meaning to the offense. Now, when you hear that first thing, oh, cool, firing Matt Canada. Okay, or cooler still, Kenny Pickett's going to be the quarterback. But that's not what he means. He means that just that it's going to get better. Yeah. And at the same time, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? Something had to have been planted in somebody's head over the weekend that had Chase Claypool thinking or saying that change is coming. What would the offense look like if it were different? Setting aside all the snark and all the, well, obviously it'd be better with a different OC or a quarterback. Like, what would it look like? What would you do if you were head coach and you said, listen, I just want to give you guys an identity this week. I don't care about anything else. What would you do?
Man, honestly, I think it would be letting the big boys up front do work. Like,
what would that mean?
That would mean creating the identity. Look, if you're going to be a run first team or you want to establish an identity, like, that was one of the biggest things that we did. Like, we knew we had seven, you know, but we weren't an offense. We weren't an item. We weren't a thing until Coach T cussed us out and just had us, look, we don't go nowhere unless y'all go somewhere. I think everybody became a little frustrated in watching that Cleveland game with realizing that this team can actually move the ball if given the opportunity to, man. Like, the rushes were there, DK. Like, let's just say that. They established the line of scrimmage. They weren't under any pressure when it came to the quarterbacking situation. Like, I know it broke down towards the latter part of it, but get to it, stick with it, like, create that. I thought they were too quick to get away from the stuff that was working. Not I think that's why people were frustrated. That little quick out to freaking George Pickens was unnecessary. Like, the DB was pressed already. You knew that play, like, schematically, if you were just a little bit smart as a defensive coordinator or a cornerback, you knew that ball was going out there to George Pickens. Like, I thought it was way too forced for you to go do something. Should have just continued the ground game and let Najee and Jaylen Warren do work, man.
That pass to Pickens, I have to, since you brought it up.
Go ahead.
That pass to Pickens, you know what that was?
What?
That was Matt Canada saying, listen, I heard everybody all week, okay? I heard all this. I'm going to get the, somehow, some way, I'm going to at least put the ball between the one and the four in some capacity. Like when Hines Ward got his 1,000th reception, boom, 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 like that. Yeah. That's what that was. That he was just saying, hey, listen, okay, I'm checking a box here. Yeah. I'm scratching this off the list. That is so what that was. But what he got away from was maybe something that he hadn't anticipated, presuming he anticipates things. And that was, they ran the ball.
Yeah.
Who saw that? It was almost as if there was a script in place that we'll do some runs in the first half for show, and then in the second half, we'll pass. Well, hang on a second. The runs for show worked. And you finally had your offensive line feeling good about themselves the first time, and you just take the ball right out of their hands.
And what's so cold about it, though, DK, was it almost as if he bent the knee. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way I was kind of looking at it. Like, dog, don't bend the knee. Don't listen to us. I said this when Eddie and I did our recording. Like, it worked. Like, why do you feel like you got to force it through the air when what was working, you could have stood by it? It was dumb. Like, it legitimately was just dumb to do that. But the
score was 14-13 in your favor.
What?
In a game where you needed to keep the ball away from the Browns.
Yes. Yes.
And you go, nah, let's just do these instead. Think, 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 think.
It was cute. And in the sport of football, is not a cute sport. You got to be very deliberate. You got to make those hard decisions. Like, I know George Pickens probably wasn't happy with that play simply because you kind of set him up a little bit. Like, that's a TFL right there when it all breaks down. And the other part of it, too, is, like I said, you bent the knee when it came down to listening to what your players need. Sometimes you as a coordinator have to be that guy. When you speak about what BA was doing to get Hines those numbers, those catches,
yeah.
Guess what? Matt Canada ain't Bruce Arians, okay?
No.
Can we just say that? No. He's not him. And in not being him, you do what you need to do to be successful and create that resume that allows you to be known as that guy that can create a really good game plan to put this offense in position to win. Because when you go down that list, DK, of the playmakers that they have, and yeah, I'm talking about the playmakers that they have on this Pittsburgh team, they're good. Anybody would be salivating over that. Now, they got to get over their own issues, too, when it comes down to it, DK. The drops. The going backwards after you make a catch. The tiptoeing to the line of scrimmage, which we saw less of. The fumbling, Jaylen Warren, okay? The create, and let's be honest, too. The neglect when it comes down to incorporating Pat Freiermuth into this offense. Like, there have been just sprinkles of good things. And you say to yourself, put a whole game together, and we've yet to see that.
Let me take you back to the first half, maybe the first three quarters of the game in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Do you remember some of the imagination
that
was going into the offense? I'm not just talking about the triple flea flicker and everything else here. There were some interesting patterns that were being run behind the line of scrimmage to get Chase Claypool lots of runs. There was a legitimate lack of predictability to the offense. And then it was like he had all summer to come up with eight plays, and then after he came up with eight, just went, "Woo! All right, I'm done for this year. That's enough of that."
That's not how this works, man. Like, let's be real, DK. With the players talking, or at least we allude that, like, people
they're
chirping. Okay. Pressure's on. Like that pilot has been lit. Like, your feet, you're tap dancing now. It's getting a little hot around Matt Canada. Like, either you do or you don't, man. And I promise you, somebody will walk in quickly to take that job.
When we come back, we're going to look at the defensive side of the ball here. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Accountability only exists in Mike Tomlin's world when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. That's me saying that, not you, Moan. But, you know, he's completely comfortable ripping the defense, changing starters on defense, altering schemes, getting mad about it. And yet when it comes to the offense, it's like, oh, they're trying. They're getting better. They're whatever. But on defense, he did take Tyson Alualu off the top of the depth chart and off the first team. And he's going to have Montrevious Adams up there. And that's because, plain and simple, they didn't stop the run in Cleveland. And I'm sure this head coach wasn't singling out Tyson.
No.
But Tyson's the one who's going to sit.
Right. And, of course, the film don't lie. Okay? Like, you've had extra days to look at the film. Montrevious being in a position right now. He's been in his league for a little while also, since 2017. This guy's a former third-round draft pick, too. Let's not act like, you know, he's just a young slappy out here. He can play. Now, if Coach T, you know, and the defensive staff deemed this to be a position in which you make a change coming off of this extra bye, this short bye, then I think we got to start just taking a look at it. I'll say this to Montrevious. You got to answer that call, whether it be the youth that you have or whether it just be the ability that you can make plays. You better go do those things, because if not, they'll go find another guy. Like,
or worse, they'll call you a young slappy.
That's definitely the best thing you can call. No, that's the worst thing you can be called on this network.
That is so sticking. He has no chance of escaping this label now.
No, not at all, man. But when you start making those type of changes, this is one thing that I know Coach T looks for when it comes down to that position, D-tackle, nose tackle positions. One, can you stop the run? But also, where's your value when it comes down to getting after the quarterback? And Montrevious is a guy that can do those two things where you don't have to change out personnel. I guess when they look at probably what Tyson's bringing to the table, who's been very solid for a while now, but he's coming off of that injury. We don't know how that's still affecting him. We don't know what the lingering effects of that is. Giving the opportunity to a guy like Montrevious, man, says a lot about where they feel about him. And honestly, probably just the beginning of the end of what Tyson is going to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, he's in his mid-30s. I mean, the wall hits. And when it hits, it hits hard.
It's everybody.
Yeah, and maybe that's the case with him. Maybe he just needs a little bit more time to recover, sharpen, maybe refocus mentally. Who knows what? I have a hard time saying stuff like that about him because we all know what kind of professional he is. But
yeah,
you know,
love Tyson, man.
Yeah. That's why it's really... I saw you cringing over there. Yeah, I was just throwing out the possibility of what could possibly be the benefits here. But when you're making moves like that, and you're then laying the onus really on everybody on the line, yeah, from Cam on down, a guy that I look at is Chris Wormley, who I also like a lot, and I like the fact that he had 7 sacks last year, can get to the quarterback himself. I don't know that anybody would look at Worm and say, now here's a great run stopper.
Nah, but this is where you also get into the incorporation of what DeMarvin Leal has been adding to this defense too. Mm-hmm. Like we can't say that. Like at some point you got to start having a succession plan, and I think these two guys right here are a part of that. And truth be told, having to go back look at the film, they may work better together by having Cam, by having Martavis, by having DeMarvin Leal out on the field, and Larry Ogunjobi. Like look at what they've kind of transitioned into, the bigger athletic like defensive lineman, a guy that's long enough but also agile and thick enough to hold up against the run and get after the quarterback. So this could be a good spark. And again, this Jets offensive line isn't just filled with world beaters either. Okay, like you can get after them this week with those types of guys. And this is the other part, going to play on that turf in New York for a guy like
Tyson. It's here.
Okay, I was about to say, like, goodness. Like, that's something that I would have been worried about when it comes down to
everybody Tyson. Gets worried about playing at that place.
I mean, look what that turf has done. The Giants lost a guy this past weekend due to that turf.
Yeah, and it just keeps happening. I mean, it's, you know, you just
hate it.
Plant grass. It's not that hard. Do you know the Steelers resodded their place?
Yeah, I saw it
this week. You saw the overhead shot. Yeah, it's a stripe down the middle of the field. So what? It's just
can save careers.
Yeah, the players would probably, if you ask them, pitch in a in a jar in the middle of the locker room to replace the grass once every number of days. You know what I mean?
No doubt, DK. But
when we come, go ahead, man.
I was just gonna say, good for Martavis, man. Take advantage of this.
Yeah.
You switch teams once. Don't let it happen again.
No, you want to become a fixture at some point, somewhere.
Yep.
That's for sure. When we come back, the only segment that matters.
Hey, Moan.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show and the only segment that matters, the Hey Moan segment. And it's brought to you every day by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where it's all about quality. 3 expert chefs fine-tune every detail so that every sub and burger, salad, wrap, drink, and appetizer gets made with fresh ingredients and always tastes amazing. Order your favorites at the Get-Go Cafe and Market today. Better believe it. Moan, you've picked one out today.
I do, man. This is from the YouTube comment section from Jim Fairfield, man. He goes, hey, Moan, we are loaded with offensive talent. The O-line gets better every week. Thank you for acknowledging that. Does Matt Canada have what it takes to be an NFL coordinator? He says, I can't see it, but I'm just a fan. Film don't lie, okay? Well, if you see what you see, then, you know, we got to address it. This is the thing. NFL.
They want
means,
real here, Moan. They want real. Okay, this is the reason they come to the Ramon Foster Show. If they want happy joy, this and that, and the positive spins, you have your choices. You come here for moan. So this on this topic of all topics, let's get it real.
Well, here we go, Dan. Just looking at it, does he have what he take? I think in some capacity. I don't know if it's for this group this soon, meaning it's so young, it's so fragile, it's so new. You're transitioning from one quarterback that 20 years to a new one that's a rehab project. Let's just be honest about that. With that being said, I've always been a guy that's kind of said sometimes coaches get jobs because of circumstance, or maybe you're familiar with them, or maybe it's, man, we think he can do these things. NFL to us as players means not for long. And I think that's the same thing for coaches. The stuff that we heard about Matt Canada, the creativity, the motions, how he does is off. We've yet to kind of see it. We've seen spurts of it. And I tell you people all the time, the NFL is a very smart league. Whatever you think you're doing has already been done 50 times over. And the stuff that we thought we were going to see, we're not seeing it from him so far, man. With the talent that this group has that you kind of acknowledge here, Jim, it's not being exploited. Like, you got to take Deontay and make him that guy. You got to make George Pickens that guy, work him into being it. Chase Claypool sometimes just goes missing. You can't have that. We want a half without watching Pat Freiermuth get a catch until later in the second half in Cleveland. The ability to adjust to what your offensive line suggests that you are until they get on the same page. Hadn't seen it. If you don't have a quarterback that you believe to be a world beater, well, do what Cleveland did against us on Thursday night. Protect him. Put him in situations in which he's going to be successful. With all that being said, what does it sound like I'm saying to you, Jim? He's probably just not ready for this job right now.
What does the head coach always say? Go ahead.
Let me finish it up again. And we're seeing it right now kind of play out a little bit with what the Las Vegas Raiders have going on. Everybody has been championing on Josh McDaniels for a while. He goes, I think, to Denver, failed there. Then he goes back to what New England has. And now he's 0-3 right now with Vegas. These names, these concepts of saying people deserve stuff. No, sometimes you just got to overpass that guy and look at the situation that they're in. And I don't know if Josh McDaniels is a NFL head coach or play caller the way he was when he was with Brady. And we're starting to see it was a little bit more Brady than it was Bill in the system. Brady was that system.
So true. So true. I look at this coordinator and I think of one of Mike Tomlin's many pet phrases, and that is that you are what you put on film. What Matt Canada has put on film is not something that you would take to a job interview. If an offensive coordinator's job came open in the National Football League, the number of teams that would even grant Canada an interview right now is at zero, including Pittsburgh. Meaning if it was like just from, you know, just starting everything from scratch right now, if you're Pittsburgh, you would look at his body of work in the NFL right now and say, no. Get out of here and take your tape with you. Hey, look. Hey, wait, you left your tape behind. Take this with you. Get it out of here before someone sees it and tries it. You know, it's like, not to pile on here, because you never know when somebody's going to have a good game. And for all we know, they could go and look like magic against the Jets and everyone will come back at us, on Monday. Hey, you guys said he sucked. He's actually a genius and whatever else. But it's not there, Moan.
You know what I say? Even a broke clock is right twice a day, right?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, that first half in Cincinnati where it was all this imagination and wizardry and running guys behind the quarterback and sweeps and lots of Claypool. And who threw the ball downfield? It was it was just everything was just like, whoa, look, he got the message. He's been set free. There's no more Ben Roethlisberger holding him back. And then he looked at the other side of the index card that he'd spent the summer filling out, and it was blank.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I need another 6 months.
Again, if we can call players trash and talk about them being cut, like, that same pressure goes to coaches.
Yep,
like, absolutely. Legitimately. And that's what we're here for. So is he an NFL coordinator? Right now, it's kind of hard to say yes to, simply because despite what the defense is missing. And as TJ, offensively, that shouldn't affect you. And you have every single one of your weapons on that side of the ball. And to be averaging, what are we averaging right now? Points per game, DK? It's what? 18 points a game? We're 19th in the NFL.
I thought it was like 3.1, but okay.
19 points a game with that offense, despite the offensive line. Protect them. Make them go full slot.
Yeah, the one thing you were sure was going to go wrong has actually been okay.
My guys have a sense of pride.
Let's do this again tomorrow, Moan. One more before the game against the Jets.